from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Joe Starkey Show. Josh Taylor in for Joe Starkey. We are live at Treesdale Country Club for the HM3 Jerome Bettis and Mel Blunt Celebrity Golf Outing. It has been a tremendous day out here at Treesdale. Some big time faces, some big time names that we have seen out and about, and they are currently hitting the links. And right now we're going to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And my guest right now, 93.7 The Fan Sports Director and one of my favorite people on the planet. He's out in Latrobe, and he was there for the first day of Steelers training camp. Jeff Hathorn joins me. Jeff, let's start. First of all, good to talk to you again. Been a while.
Yeah, you as well. Is Starkey still signing autographs?
He might be. He's probably around here somewhere, knowing Joe. Or he might have snuck his way onto the course. Who knows?
I'm guessing he's out there somewhere.
I would probably guess the same. So you were out there today, and yep. Let's start with the stuff at the top, and Austin talked about this at Fan Headlines. Russell Wilson not running with the first team. Seems like an issue with his leg. What did you see out there? What did you hear? What do we hear about the situation?
It's interesting because, you know, so many people, all right, finally get a chance to see Russell Wilson. All the fans wanted to come. Let's see what Russell Wilson looks like. He looks like a guy just walking around and not practicing today because he had a tight calf this morning. And Mike Tomlin said they didn't want to take any chances. You know, first practice of the year, and he's going to be day-to-day. And, you know, it's an opportunity for Justin Fields. And he kind of said he did okay. There were a couple of throws he wanted back. There was one throw that he made, bad throw, where he kind of got bumped into that made it look a lot worse than it probably would have been. But, yeah, already we've got a quarterback that can't practice, but it doesn't seem like it's anything major.
Then, of course, there was the talk about the opening reps. We saw Dan Moore at left tackle, Broderick Jones at right tackle, but eventually there was a shift. Broderick Jones moves over to left tackle, Troy Fautanu at right tackle. How did that come about?
You know, we see this time of year a lot where they're running different situations. To your point, I mean, Dan Moore and Nate Herbig were the starters at tackle and center, respectively. They're going to switch things up, especially first practice of the year. And this is going to be probably their shortest practice of the year. They only went an hour and a half. They'll typically go 2 to 20. But, you know, these first couple of practices, there's kind of a heat acclimation. They're not in pads yet until Tuesday. So we'll see some of that, you know, mix up. And, you know, listen, I think those jobs are to be determined. But much like we've seen in the past with Mike Tomlin, the guys who have been around for a couple of years who have started at a certain position, they're going to get the first nod at training camp, and then we'll see how it kind of plays out from there.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question as far as rookies and opportunities and working those things into it. This is something that we've seen quite often under Mike Tomlin's stewardship, Jeff, where the rookies get on the field eventually. They're not the number one guys going out, but eventually Mike Tomlin works the guys that he thinks are ready to be in that position. He eventually works them in. So you always hear the immediate reaction, why is this guy doing this right now? And you remind people, hey, this is what they do. They're going to work guys in. With that in mind, you know, when you mentioned Troy Fautanu working in at right tackle, who are some of those younger or new faces that we're seeing maybe working into certain spots?
Well, you know, I will mention that Zach Frazier did have a bad snap today. He worked the second team, and I only point that out because, you know, people want to know every rep, and the bad snap was his, unfortunately. It doesn't mean he's not going to win the position. It was just, you know, a bad snap. Dylan Cook worked at one of the tackle positions on the second team with Fautanu for, you know, the initial second team. You know, and it wasn't Mason McCormick, though, at guard. It was Spencer Anderson, who played some center last year. He could play tackle. He could play guard. So he's a guy that they're working in at different positions. At times, he was kind of the backup center last year. As I mentioned, he played a little bit there. But he was the guy who played some guard. So it's still the first day. They're still, you know, mixing and matching. But, you know, that's how some of the rotations went today. And again, first day, I mean, there are some times where, for instance, and Josh, you've seen this, where you see somebody complete a pass or they run around in the pocket and make a throw and everybody gets excited, like, wow, look at that play. Well, he would have been sacked. If he would have been allowed to be hit, he would have been sacked. And I'll say this too. Nick Herbig made a couple nice plays, and I want to point this out because it wasn't just plays where he came around the edge. Like, one of them was he didn't get suckered into going in the edge. He stayed in his gap, and they blew up a run play, and the coaches went crazy because he was right where he needed to be. Didn't try to hero. He just went right where he was supposed to be, and they gave him a lot of props for that. So and as a second-year guy, that's probably worth pointing out as someone that's a lot more comfortable in that position and understands the totality of the defense a lot better.
93.7 The Fan Sports Director Jeff Hathorn joins me right now on the Joe Starkey Show. Jeff, I was talking about this earlier with the arrival of players at training camp. In years past, it was, what outfit are we going to see? What vehicle are we going to see? What car is Antonio Brown going to pull up in? Is he going to pull up in a helicopter? Is James Harrison going to be on a bus? Is Vince Williams going to dress like Stone Cold? And I'm sitting in the KDKA studio from the TV aspect of it. We're always waiting to see that video. And I have to admit, I was a little bit underwhelmed because we didn't see a lot of that. I think Russell Wilson might have had the most flashy car, you know, the most flashy outfit might have been Landon Roberts and his Vince Wilfork overalls, and the most flashy accessory might have been Alex Highsmith's PS5, which, by the way, veteran move. But I was underwhelmed at first, but then part of me goes, you know what? That's good. I'd rather it be boring and have guys focused on the work. What was your thought with how you saw move-in day yesterday?
Those guys seem to have a pretty quiet confidence. I mean, let's face it, there has never been a year where the team has reported here where they weren't confident that they could win. I mean, this is an organization that expects to win, so there's always been that. There's never even been trepidation. But there have been years where you almost feel like they had to talk it into existence, or they wanted to talk more about it. This year was just, it was pretty understated to your point about the cars and what they brought into camp. And I'll say this too. I mean, the year Antonio Brown showed up in a helicopter, like, he was damn good that year.
True.
So would I take Antonio Brown showing up in a helicopter and being another wide receiver option? Hell yes, I would. That being said, you know, there is some, maybe from an old school standpoint, there is some, something that's settling about guys coming in and just getting ready to work.
And Jeff, to that point, we're talking about the options in different places and the options in wide receiver, and we see a different crop of veterans coming through here. One place I'm looking at different options outside of wide receiver, the linebacker position really is intriguing to me because remember this group that went through six or seven guys just a couple years ago? Now you got a Landon Roberts. You got Holcomb. You have Peyton Wilson that they drafted. There's Patrick Queen. They brought back Tyler Matakevich. This was a position that just 2 years ago was on bare bones, and now it's one of the deepest I think we've seen in maybe, what, a decade plus, Jeff?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And there's athleticism there. So it's not just bodies. And you're not talking about having to put in a all due respect to Mark Robinson, into that position out of necessity. You're talking about options that you think can make plays, that understand what's going on. And, I agree with you. I mean, I think Roberts and Queen are a nice tandem. I think they play off each other well. I don't say that based on practice. I'm just saying their styles. I think that's going to work. I think Wilson's an intriguing guy that you might be able to get creative with and bring in on his third down. You know, God forbid there's an injury, I think he's someone that can step in. And if Holcomb can get healthy, I mean, we'll see. We haven't seen him out here yet. We saw him working during OTAs. He was able to walk around seemingly fine, but walking and getting into a football game were a different thing. But, yeah, this is a better stacked linebacker position. And you know, in case of emergency, you could break that Matakevich class.
93.7 The Fan Sports Director Jeff Hathorn joining me right now on the Joe Starkey Show. Jeff, I always trust your eye for fine details. And I know it's been one practice here at training camp. I know it was only an hour and a half, and you didn't even see the guys were probably going to see all of them starting on the field in week one. However, I trust your attention to detail, and it's only been one practice, so you may not have seen him yet. But who is one guy you are keeping the eagle eye out for that you think can surprise some people in camp?
I mean, there are several I'm watching, most notably Dante Jackson, the other corner. He made a play on a fade route on a perfectly thrown ball by Justin Fields, and Pickens got his hands on it, and he perfectly timed where he knocked that ball out. He had another really good coverage. Again, I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro, but in this practice, he did well for himself. There'll be more opportunities to prove that he's someone that is worth the salary that Carolina gave him, or at least worthy being a starter. So that's one I'm really keeping my eyes on. The other is, you know, how much they used Freiermuth, and they used him a ton. I mean, there was no doubt today that the number two receiver was Pat Freiermuth.
Wow. Wow, that was a possibility that had been floated out there before, and I'm very intrigued to see how that can go moving forward. Something else I want to run past you here while we got you for another couple minutes here. Najee Harris spoke yesterday upon his arrival, talked about his contract situation and everything surrounding him. I've been of the belief that if I had to put my money on, you know, whether or not Najee Harris will be back here next season, or gun to my head, if I think he returns, I think he does. I think there's the possibility there for a contract extension. I feel like for what they need him to be and for what he could be for this team, especially in the second half of this upcoming season, I feel like he has value. Where are you on the expectation for not only what Najee Harris can do this season, but the expectations for him next season, where he could be?
Yeah, and it may not be here. I guess we've seen enough in 3 years that I would expect a 1,000-yard season. I would expect him to have some tough yards. I would expect him to have some games where they're relying heavily on him. And then I think there are going to be some games where Jaylen Warren's going to be the majority ball carrier. And I don't mean that like 24-8, but I mean where he's going to get more carries because of the defense they're playing. The unknown here for all of us is, you know, we saw what Arthur Smith did when he had Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying Najee's Derrick Henry, but does he try to build that? Does he think he can build that type of power game around Najee? I don't think so. I don't think that's their plan. If that was the case, he would have told that to the Steelers, and they would have picked up the fifth-year option. But how do they use Najee Harris? I think at this point we're going to see what we've seen from him. At times you think, all right, let's keep this guy. And at times you'll think, I think they could find someone else that could do the same type of thing as long as you still have Jaylen Warren.
Before we let you go, Jeff, we talked with John Parrotto about an hour ago. And we were talking about trade possibilities because there have been rumors that have floated around there. Taylor Ward's name has been out there. Brent Rooker from Oakland, his name has been out there. Jim Bowden floated out a trade scenario involving Jazz Chisholm from Miami. John Parado floated out the name Cedric Mullins as a possible target, maybe as a short-term rental. Which name to you right now, Jeff, seems the most plausible, most realistic for the Pirates to acquire before the trade deadline?
Well, sadly, Ward is just... has just really had a bad month plus, and he's dealing with some issues. I mean, I think if you can get Rooker, look at his numbers, look at the OPS, look at the power he brings. Is he a great defensive answer? No, but I don't care. This team needs quick runs, and I think he could bring that, and I think he would flourish with the Pirates. That would be my one. I think Chisholm would be an interesting too. I mean, he's a guy with 13 homers and 21 stolen bases. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's kind of a multi-dimensional guy. You could plug him right in. That has intrigued me. And I know John Heyman has said, you know, he and Josh Bell might be involved in a package deal. I mean, he went that far to say to the Pirates. I think Bell is interesting, you know, just as a bat off the bench. You know, I don't know if I trust him from the right side to where he'd be a straight platoon with Tellez, but that's an interesting additional bat to have. But I would say Rooker 1, Chisholm 2, but I think either one of those two immediately make the Pirates offense better. And hey, and everybody's got to be ready for this. To get a player like this with like 80% of the league still in the playoff race, you're going to give up something you're not going to want to give up. So just be ready for that, because they'll get rid of somebody, and you'll say, man, I really want them to keep this guy.
Jeff, before we let you go, I talked about this briefly in the previous segment, because we had a caller that came in and was wishing me well on my last day, because for those of you who don't know, this is my last show on 93.7 The Fan. From the beginning, nearly 8 years ago.
You're going to kill it in news.
Thank you. But I got to get this out. From the beginning, 8 years ago, you were one of the first guys that reached out to me. When I got the opportunity to come here, you gave me tremendous support from the beginning. You were a mentor from the beginning. And you and I go back even further than that. When I was a field producer at my previous TV job, and you gave me one of the best pieces of information, best pieces of advice that I remember back then. I was at training camp. I'll never forget this. I'm at training camp, and it was like my first or second day covering training camp as a producer. And you came up to me, you pulled me to the side. You said, people keep coming up to me asking me who you are. And I was just a field producer. He says, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And here I am all these years later getting ready to tell you goodbye on my last day. So I wanted to publicly thank you, because you've been one of the guys that have been there from the very beginning. And I appreciate you.
Josh, it's been great to see your career kind of blossom. You know, being able to come back here and get to do what you love in your hometown. And now with two beautiful children. I mean, life is good, man. You've done a great job. And like I said, I can't wait to watch you on the news. And I think I'm going to be worried now. I used to like seeing you. Now I'm going to see, oh, there's Josh. Something bad happened.
That's already the case. It's already happening, man. It's crazy. It's a crazy time to jump in. Crazy time to move from the sports desk to the news desk, for sure.
Yeah, but you're gonna do great. It's going to be awesome for you.
I appreciate you, brother, and I appreciate all of it over the years, man. You're one of the greatest. I always say that you're one of my favorite people, and I'm not saying that just to pump you up or put you over. I say it because I mean it, and I appreciate you, Jeff. Thank you.
It's been great working with you. I'm sure somehow we're going to do it again.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not done with sports yet. I'm hoping we do another sports call or two.
I'm in.
All right, Jeff Hathorn, 93.7 The Fan Sports Director, and one of my favorite human beings on the planet. And when I say Jeff has been a support and giving me great advice over the years, I'm not exaggerating. I was a nobody, no-name kid fumbling around with the microphone, trying not to drop it at Steelers training camp and scared to death of just screwing up and not getting sound and not doing my job. And Jeff Hathorn and Ken Laird and Tim Benz, they were the guys who took me under their wing. Hey, follow us. Go where we go. Do what we do. Ask what we ask. Do this. Don't do that. Go here. Don't go there. Don't go in this door. Stay out of this room. And they were the guys that helped me along the way and pointed me in the right direction. And If I ever needed advice, they gave me great advice. And Jeff is on that list of people that I will never forget because he's been such a great influence to me and he's been such a great mentor to me. And he's and what's the word? He is an invaluable asset, not only to this station, but to this media market as a whole. So Jeff Hathorn, there you got it from him. We will take another break, but first we have Fan Headlines with Austin. We are live at Treesdale Country Club, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are live at Treesdale Golf and Country Club, the site of the HM3 Jerome Bettis and Mel Blunt celebrity golf outing. Josh Taylor in for Joe. It's been a great day out here at Treesdale. There have been some tremendous names and faces that we have seen in the crowd. The list is just way too crazy to imagine. Former Steelers like Joey Porter, James Harrison, of course, Jerome Bettis, Mel Blunt here. Former Steelers GM Kevin Colbert is here. Pirates broadcaster and former Pirate infielder John Wehner, PPS legend, is here. Just all kinds of great names and faces. Bob Pompiani is here. Ryan Recker is here. Guy Junker is here. Smokey Robinson is here. I got a hug, folks, from Smokey Robinson while I was on the air earlier in this show, and it completely probably made my decade. That was just incredible. It's been a really awesome day here. Plus, we've had some great guests on. John Parrotto, Pittsburgh Baseball Now, joined me during the noon hour. We just had Jeff Hathorn on just a few moments ago at the beginning of the 1 o'clock hour. We had a mystery guest during the 11 o'clock hour. WWE superstar Chad Gable was on the show. That was incredible. Shout out to Matt Fargo and our producer Austin Bechtold for making that happen. They put that together as a special little treat for me because, by the way, not to bury the lead, but this is my last show here on 93.7 The Fan. But if you want to listen to all of those things, you can even listen to the moment where I met Smokey Robinson. You can find it on the Fan Rewind on the Odyssey app. Go into the Odyssey app, look up 93.7 The Fan, and you can pick out which segment you want to listen to. If you want to find John Parrotto around the noon mark, Jeff Hathorn around the 1 o'clock mark, and then Chad Gable right around the 11:35, 11:40 marks. You can listen to all those and other pieces of the show. Got a few minutes left here before we wrap up, but I want to go quickly to the phone lines. Really special caller. Jim in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Jim, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Jim, you are on the Fan. Appreciate you calling.
Oh, no problem. Congratulations on your big promotion.
Thank you, man. And thank you for the record. For those of you who don't know, Jim has been one of the most loyal listeners. I talked about the Yellow Knife era earlier in the show. Jim was around for the Yellow Knife era, followed me over to 93.7 The Fan, and has been around ever since. Jim, I appreciate you, man.
Oh, no problem, no problem. You deserve it, and you deserve the job. And now I get to watch you on streaming.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how this all came about. Probably like a 48-hour period to where this transition happened. But I'm looking forward to the challenge, and my career was mostly postgraduate has been centered around sports media, whether sports radio or covering sports on the news or doing play-by-play. So this is a big shift. I'm looking forward to it.
Good, good, good. And have fun, and Autumn sends her best to you, too.
Please tell Autumn I said hello, and thank you, Jim, so much. Appreciate you.
No problem. We'll stay in touch.
Thank you. Jim in New Bedford, Massachusetts, one of the most loyal and diehard Steeler fans that you will find. And one of those guys, just like Todd and Perry, who called in earlier, they were guys that always listened in, kept in touch on social media. And he was one of those guys that was up early on a Sunday morning with his granddaughter, Autumn, whom he always gives me an update on, which I really appreciate. So hello, Autumn, in case you were listening. It was great because Jim would always give us updates and pictures of Autumn, and I felt like, you know, having that kind of connection. And then I have children of my own, so to have that kind of, you know, progress continue to be monitored, I think is awesome. And it's really, really cool to hear from folks like Jim. It was great to hear from guys like Todd and talking to Jeff Hathorn and John Parrotto, just people who have been a part of the journey for me, for not just in my radio career, but all the way back in 2008 when I first got into this thing with whether it be in radio or in TV. And these were guys that were part of the journey along the way, and then my radio career kind of got rolling and brought us to this point. And it feels weird that I'm getting to the point where I'm ready to close this chapter and start a new chapter on the news desk. But I am incredibly appreciative. And I want to say this because I haven't said it yet. And it makes it more fitting that I'm saying this on his show. I also want to thank Joe Starkey. Joe Starkey was one of the people I met working in TV. I got to produce a sports show on television that Joe was a part of. This was 17, 18 years ago. And that's when I first met Joe. But what Joe, well, I should say that was the second time I met Joe. The first time I met Joe, I was a student journalist at Duquesne covering a Duquesne-West Virginia basketball game in Morgantown. That's where I first met Joe Starkey. And Joe comes up to me and my friend Stacy, who we were covering the game together at the time for Duquesne Student TV. He comes up to me and goes, what station are you guys from? I'm like, oh, we're from Duke TV. He goes, Duke TV? He said, we're student journalists. We're covering for the Duquesne Student TV station. Joe goes, I went to Duquesne. It's like, I used to write for the Duquesne Duke. And that's how Joe Starkey and I became friends. Because we found out Joe Starkey went to Duquesne just like we did. And that's where the relationship with Joe began. I end up working in TV as a producer. I get to meet Joe on a show. I get to meet Joe again on the show we're producing. He looks right at me and goes, Josh Taylor, Duquesne University. I said, yes, sir. And that's how it went. And after that, every time I saw Joe, it was always the same question. Dr. Taylor, I presume? This is one of those times where I'm going to tell you how much I love Joe Starkey. And for those of you who have listened to the show over the years and listened to Joe, whether it's with Cook and Joe or even with Chris Muller, you know the Joe you hear is the Joe you always get. That's the Joe you're going to get every day. That's the one you run into under normal circumstances. The one you hear on the radio, that's the Joe he is off the radio. He's that genuine and hilarious and quirky, but just genuinely good person. And I owe a lot to Joe, and not just for being able to fill in on his radio show, but the contributions he's made toward my career and the relationship I've been able to build with him. And he's one of the guys I'm going to miss. So I'm incredibly grateful to Joe Starkey. We are going to take a break here. We got headlines coming up. When we come back, I want to get into a training camp story that leaked out on social media. It didn't leak out. It was posted on social media. But the person who tells the story and the way he tells the story, I have another version of that story that's told by someone who was there. I want to get into that because, A, it's a funny story. B, it's a really detailed story about some really legendary players in Steelers history, and see how it ties into me and one of the experiences I had surrounding it. So we'll get to that before we close out. Josh Taylor and for Joe Starkey, we are live at Treesdale Golf and Country Club Sports Radio 9.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are live at Treesdale Golf and Country Club. This is the Joe Starkey Show. Josh Taylor in for Joe Starkey. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Also hit us up on the Fan Text Line 412-928-9370. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We have been talking a lot about Steelers training camp. Today was the first day of practice. Omar Khan addressed the media today. Russell Wilson sat out of practice with a calf issue. Mike Tomlin says it was a precaution. Looks like he's going to be fine, but we will keep an eye on that moving forward. Some shuffling pieces on the offensive line that we heard from Jeff Hathorn earlier in this hour. And on top of all that, Pirates out on the West Coast. They'll be in Arizona starting a three-game series tomorrow night with Luis Ortiz on the mound, and that is what's cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester. I want to get to this real quick because this was a video that came out, I believe it was yesterday, on social media. I was in the KDKA studios, anchoring the news during the break, and we're talking about training camp stories because training camp was getting ready to start. And I was telling Ray Petlin, our meteorologist, I said, my favorite training camp story involved Ryan Clark, Antonio Brown, and Ike Taylor. And it was a story that Ike Taylor himself told me when I was a producer on Ike's radio show. Well, it just so happens, after I'm telling this story, the next time I see Ray, he goes, dude, you're not going to believe this. Ryan Clark had this video talking about that story. And Austin Bechtold, I believe we have the clip of Ryan Clark telling that story from training camp.
Yep, here it is.
Here's Ryan Clark.
The most vivid camp memory I have a ton, but the one I think of as soon as I think of camp was the day Antonio Brown got his money. Mm. In a moment I'm not proud of now, he was walking, and it was the day before, and I was like, he's going to be difficult to deal with when he get his money. And I said it out loud. I shouldn't have said it out loud. I will say that. He gets his money. We're doing one-on-ones. Keenan's playing defense on him. And, man, he routing Keenan up. I'm talking about killing him. So Keenan holding him now. It's all kind of stuff going on. He's like, tell him don't hold me. I'm the franchise. Woo, woo, woo. He talking big, right? So Coach LeBeau, who never really says anything, he's like, man, get to the huddle. So he cussed Coach LeBeau out. And then you know Ike, Dickie? He gonna cuss Dickie? So now Ike fired up. You know what I mean? And so, man, like, he's steady going. So, like, there's a picture of it. Me and him face to face, Todd Haley in between us, Scotty Montgomery in between us. And I was telling him, I was like, man, this is going to be it. Like, you're never going to spend any of that money because I'm going to finish it today. And, man, I remember, like, we fired up and Troy looked at me, and Troy never snapped his helmet. And he always had his hair in a bun. And he looked at me, and he would never wear gloves. He looked at me and he went, I said, oh, it's a different type of day now.
Yeah.
Now we blitzing. I'm flipping backers. I mean, running backs that's trying to get to me. Troy slinging Ben around. We fighting every snap. We had to do it on our team named Kill Switch. Kill Switch hitting people across the middle on slants. Like, we lost total control of it. Then at the end, Ike and AB had got into it. Ike's helmet came off, so AB's face mask, like, cut Ike right there. Literally, bro, as slow as it could possibly be, Ike stood up. We break it down now. And you know Ike pigeon-toed as hell. Ike stood up. He ain't say a word. Break it down. He's taking his gloves off. Walk over to him. Fa-fa. Bro, these boys start fighting on the field, dog. They're fighting on the field. And Ben being the peacemaker, Ben gonna tell me, get him, RC. I say, the hell I wish I would. He need to get beat up.
Yeah.
And obviously we needed him. He was one of the best players on the entire team. But, like, it was that type of atmosphere that day. Like, we knew how good he was. We knew how hard he worked. But, like, we were also the reason.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we felt like the reason we were there was because of the man you cussed out.
Yeah.
Was because of the players you was beefing with. And man, when he started beefing with Keenan Lewis, bro, and started cussing Keenan, then he cussed Dickie. That's a day of football I will never forget, man. In all of my years, it's the most physical day of practice I've ever seen.
That's Ryan Clark on the pivot, talking to Channing Crowder and Fred Taylor. The reason why I wanted to talk about this story, because the version of that story I heard from Ike Taylor, it was almost 100% word for word, the exact same story. That's why I believe it's true, because I heard this story from Ike Taylor about 10 years ago when I was Ike's producer. So to hear Ryan Clark tell it 10 years later, now granted, this is years after it happened. We're talking, what, 10, 15, 15, almost 20 years after this happened. And Ryan Clark is telling me this story word for word, almost word for word, that I heard from Ike Taylor 10 years ago. This is why I believe this story is true. Especially when RC says, Dickie, he cussed Dickie. Ike Taylor always referred to Dick LeBeau as two things, either Coach LeBeau or Dickie. That was it. And there's something I learned from Ike Taylor about that defense back then, that early two-aughts defense going into the 2010s. The one guy, there were really two guys you didn't mess with that defense. The one was James Harrison, and that was the apparent one. The other guy you didn't mess with, you did not mess with Dick LeBeau. They took it personally when you messed with Dick LeBeau, and that story really told the story of everything. They even referred to Dick LeBeau as Coach Dad. That defense revered that man. And for Ike to tell us that story, word for word, and he told us the same thing. Ike said, this isn't Ike's voice. I waited till we were done. We were breaking down. I took my gloves off. I walked over AB. I two-pieced him. I one-two-pieced him. And so when I heard Channing Crowder go, Ike pieced him laughing, I start laughing too, because that's what he told me. He's like, I pieced him. I one-two'd him. He's like, me and him, we was going at it. And I can hear Ike's voice. You don't mess with Dickie, man. I don't care. Like, you know, he's messing with Keenan. You know, that's practice. But you don't cuss Dickie. Yeah, I took that personally. He said, their defense took it personally. He's like, I'm looking at RC. RC looking at Troy. He's like, Troy got that look in his face. And Troy don't have that look in his face in practice. Troy got that look in his face on the field. Everything Ryan Clark said was exactly what I heard from Ike Taylor. And we were talking about camp stories. I said, that's my favorite story I've ever heard from a player about training camp. And I said that not knowing that Ryan Clark had recorded that episode on the pivot and told the exact same story. That tells you a lot about A, that group, B, how they felt about Dick LeBeau, and C, just how intense it can get in a training camp practice. And remember, this was early Antonio Brown. This was Antonio Brown before he was really, really, really AB. And hearing that story kind of brought back a lot of memories for me, because I told us a lot of stories. They were a lot of fun. And hearing training camp stories like that and then being able to see some things in training camp, I could tell you a bunch of Cam Hayward training camp stories of him pretty much trying to get into fights with players. And there's a bunch of them that crack me up that I remember. But I heard that. I'm like, I got to talk about this story because this is the same thing I remember. We have since passed the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 82 today with sunny skies. That is it for this show. That is it for yours truly after nearly 8 years. I'm walking away from here, but you're going to see me right over on the TV side. I'll be on the news at 5, 6, and 11, anchoring at KDKA. I'm filling in for Ken Rice this week. After this show, it's the PM team, and they will be back after this break. And we want you back to talk more Pittsburgh Pirates and Pittsburgh sports. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule a heart check at UPMC today. Pittsburgh, thank you. Austin Bechtold, our producer. Special shout out to Matt Fargo. Thank you, guys. That surprise I got today was fantastic. Thank you to Jeff Hathorn. Thank you to John Parado from Pittsburgh Baseball Now. Special thank you to WWE superstar Chad Gable for joining us. Really special surprise that the guys got for me. T-Burt here, been here with me the whole time. Thank you to T-Burt. Pittsburgh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. final time signing off. For Joe Starkey, I'm Josh Taylor. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.